Well, good morning, everyone. Sorry you have to see me again. It's unfortunate, but let's turn to Mark chapter 1, starting in, let's start in verse 14. Now, after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Now, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea. And Jesus said unto them, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship, mending their nets. And straightway he called them. They left their father Zebedee in the ship with their hired servants and went after them. Something I just read about a week ago, and I was just really struck by how quickly the disciples followed Jesus. And I don't know what the history was and if how much they knew of Jesus before this. I'm sure they would have heard something. I mean, everyone seemed to have heard of Jesus in these times. But they were very quick to drop their living, drop their nets. James and John left their father and just went and followed Jesus. And it really challenged me and struck me as I read that, just seeing how quickly these men were to follow someone they probably didn't know that much about. I don't know if they had any faith or trust in him at that time. And they left everything they knew and followed him. And all he said was, "I will make you fishers of men." And they seemed to trust that. And as I was just thinking about that, like, in my life, you know, Jesus calls us often. I know we get saved and we leave things, we follow Jesus. But often, as we go through our Christian lives, God puts his finger on certain things in my life that's hindering me from continuing to follow him, continuing to get closer to him. And so often it's like, but I just want to keep that a little bit longer. I just want to keep that a little bit more. And as I was thinking about that, I just realized that if I really want to follow Jesus, and I really want to be a faithful disciple, like disciples were, I need to be willing to leave everything, to drop whatever he's telling me to drop and follow him. And turning to Luke chapter 9. Luke 9, start in verse 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, "Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." And Jesus said unto him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." And he said unto another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." Jesus said unto him, "Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God." Another also said, "Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house." And Jesus said unto him, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." And it's a very interesting little story we get here. We have three different men. The first one volunteered to follow Jesus. And he sounded very, I guess, emotional, right? "I will follow you wherever you go." He must have been affected by something he heard. And he was ready to follow Jesus wherever he went. Very passionate about it. And Jesus gave him a little reality check and said, "I don't have anywhere to live." And he's like, "Forget that," right? Ditch that. And it made me think how often you hear something inspiring, you hear a message, you see someone who's just passionately following Jesus, and it stirs up our emotions and makes us, yeah, we want to do that too. But to consider what Jesus has called us to do and be willing to see that when we follow Jesus, we usually have to forsake something. Because you can't simply follow Jesus but keep all that the baggage in our lives and keep any the distractions, the hindrances. And the second man, Jesus called him and he said, "Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." And this man, he was willing to follow Jesus, but he had an excuse. He wanted to go and take care of his father until he died or whatever and bury him. And Jesus, seeing his heart, realized that, well, let's see if he's really willing to follow me, even if he has to come right now. And it doesn't seem like he was. And he's the kind of person that I think would follow Jesus until there was something better, maybe, or something that, yeah, he had excuses. And the third person kind of seemed the same. He wanted to go and tell his family, you know, just bid them farewell. And it seems logical, But I think Jesus realized his heart and realized that this man is already somewhat swayed and probably seeing his family, you know, the emotions of his family probably would have kept him back. And Jesus had some very strong words here. No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And it really struck me that Jesus would be so strong about that. You know, like if we're Christians and you know, we look back a little bit, it really does affect our lives. And I mean, I'm sure it affects especially those in positions of leadership. But as Christians, when we are going through our life and we take our eyes off of Jesus just for a little bit, we very quickly get sidetracked. I know for me, just thinking of like the past while my life and how easy it is for me to get distracted with things in my life, especially with cell phones, right? There's so much to get distracted. And it doesn't take much to take your eyes off, spend a little more time on your phone than in the Word of God, and you start getting sidetracked. You start veering off the course. Different things come up, and all of a sudden, it's not so important to be in the Word. It's not so important to spend time with Jesus. And so it's very, really challenging for me. And I think the amount we sacrifice for Jesus often in my life, I know it shows how much I value him. Am I willing to actually sacrifice something that I enjoy for Jesus? Do I actually have that kind of value on my relationship with Jesus? So it's really struck me. And turning over to, where did I put it now? There we go. Turning over to Luke 14:25. Sorry, Luke 14, verse 25. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father, and his mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And so whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold him began to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make a war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. And here we see kind of a similar thing again. Jesus is making a very strong point here. If any man come to him and values family, values people over God, this is an example Jesus gave here, cannot be his disciple. And I don't think Jesus is wanting us to hate our families, our wives, our children, or anything, but he's making a point that if we put anything before him, we're not worthy to be his disciple. And then farther on, he says that we need to be counting the cost. Kind of like the same thing we saw before, where it's easy to want to follow Jesus, but so often we forget that there's sacrifice involved. And I know for myself, I want to be willing to sacrifice for Jesus. But sometimes it is hard when there's certain things that we really enjoy, we really like, and I know God has put his finger in my life often on phone time. It's distracting you from getting to know me better. And so often it's just like, but just a little bit more, you know, tomorrow I'll do better. But tomorrow usually doesn't come. And he says, likewise, whoever should be of you that forsaketh on all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. And, you know, I was just thinking about the examples we have. I mean, think of like the Muslims. They are so radical for their religion. They will kill their own families. I mean, it was an example of hating your family, I guess, for real. But they're willing to kill their families. They're willing to kill themselves, to blow themselves up for the sake of a religion that is not even true. But they believe it so strongly. And we know the Bible is true. I know that the Word of God is true. And so why am I not willing so much more often to simply just forsake something for the sake of getting to know God better? And just really, really challenged me to be willing to put things aside. When God puts his finger on my heart, that I wouldn't hold anything back. Turning over to Matthew 19. Matthew 19, verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He said unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell what thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And here again we see someone who was very, a very notable man. I mean, in a different passage it says Jesus loved him. He just had such a heart to do God's law. He seemed to love God. He had kept all the commandments as a young man. But he was looking to just do something good. He's like, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? You know, in his mind, everything is based off of doing good things, so I'll have eternal life. And Jesus went right to the point and said, Go sell what you have and give to the poor and follow me. And he's very sorrowful. And again, we see someone here who had such a good heart, but yet when it came down to it, they just weren't willing to forsake that one thing. And for this man, it was a lot of things. It was his riches, but he wasn't willing to forsake it, and he forfeited eternal life because of it. And it just really struck me how we can be so spiritual often. You know, we can love the word of God, but yet if I'm not willing to forsake a simple thing in my life for the sake of God, something that is holding me back from following after him and continuing, it can keep me back from the kingdom of God or eternal life. Continuing on in verse 27, Then Peter said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What should we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, he also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And there we see the reward, when we are willing to forsake all and follow Jesus. The disciples had a wonderful reward, and he said, Everyone that forsaketh houses or brethren, he goes to that whole list there, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. And that's why I encourage us all to be those that are willing to forsake anything for Jesus to inherit that everlasting life.